We are exactly 1 month from ASTA, and I am pumped. Yep, that's what's behind me. Because every time I go there, which was only one time, I only went last year, I came back feeling like I learned. So I did. I learned so much. And today, well, over a long period of time here, I've applied it to this Tundra. Chuck, wait, I thought it was fixed. So did I. And it was. I probably could have given it back to the customer and maybe had a misfire code pop up one time in a month and then fade itself out. But what happened with this was, and everything stands in that 20-minute video that I put out, which, by the way, for the too long, did not read version of that video, this thing had symptoms that changed with everything that I fixed on it. Let me go through those real quick. Flashing check engine light with injector shutdown intermittently happens anytime that you could be in any kind of heat range, doesn't matter. And then when you turn it off, after 15 minutes, you go start it up again, and it would have a very long crank, as well as the misfires upon startup. That came down to a broken and poorly seated PCM connector from a human hand. After that was fixed, random intermittent misfires, didn't matter hot or cold, it would just come, sometimes shut down injectors, sometimes not. We had a bunch of mismatched coils, and it was screwing with the IGF circuit, which then in turn screws with the misfire detection and the cylinder shutdown on these. That you can see in the scope capture. Here's the different coils firing. There's a 2-amp difference between firing of the coil, and here's my IGF. Blue is one IGF, yellow is the other IGF, all over the place. This was after replacing all the coils, and here you can see I only have a 0.2 amp difference. So that took care of the any temperature misfires that would also shut down injector circuits. Then we got to our portion where we found out that by swapping the throttle body with a Toyota throttle body, the aftermarket one was causing misfires, but here was the screwed up part about it. It was within the first 10 seconds of running after sitting for a day and a half and only misfired and shut down injectors for a 10-second period after that original 10-second period of running. The throttle body 100% fixed that. Now, me being me, I wanted to be overzealous with this thing because it's going to South Jersey, and I needed to know that this thing would never come back because, as I stated, I never want to see this fucking truck again. So I had them go out the next day, and because I was able to catch that misfire window with the throttle body in there, I had them start this thing up for an exact period of 3.5 minutes, once every hour, to make sure that the problem would not happen. And after the 6th hour, I believe, it threw pending misfire codes. And at that point, I got very, 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 very angry. So I came back, and now I've put another 10 hours into this truck. And what I found during that time period was that when I would start this thing, and here's the thing though, now it didn't matter on temperature, but when you would start it, you would get little itty bitty misfire counts. And in fact, you can see them in my last video where I showed where the throttle body fixed it. Upon startup, when cold, you get like 12 misfires on a cylinder or two. They stop counting. And then when you would start it up in the time after that, you would count 1, 2, 3, 4 little misses. And it would be on all cylinders. So those counts of 1, 2, 3, 4 little misses over a period of starting this thing 6 or 10 times and letting it run for that. It was a 3-second period, by the way, that it would count those little tiny misses. After like 6th or 10th time, it would finally set pending misfire codes, 300 through 308. Now this was with me doing it, and then after about another 6 or 10 times and not clearing those pending codes or driving so that the pending codes would go away, it would then, after another 6 or 10 times, finally illuminate the check engine light, but not shut down any injectors. And when it illuminated the check engine light, I got a 300 through 308, and I said as much as this is probably something that will only throw check engine light if you are starting the car, driving a mile down the road, turning it off, starting back up, going another mile, so on and so forth. I knew there was still an underlying problem with this engine and I needed to figure it out. I could not bring myself to not figure it out, especially with ASTA coming up. I'm gonna get asked about this truck. I know it's gonna happen, and I needed to know that I could figure out what the problem is with this thing, whether or not it would appear on the customer, because there's a problem. You shouldn't be able, a good running car should not at any point set pending codes. Everyone else, I'm sure, would have probably let this thing go. And if the light came on the customer a month from now, said, I don't know, dude, I don't want any piece of it. It's not shutting down injectors on you. You're not getting stuck. That's, you know, it's out of warranty. It's yada, yada, yada. I guess this is going to be another long video. So what was the underlying problem with all of the problems that I had up until this point? What was the underlying problem? These human hands. Human hands and aftermarket parts. So I started digging and digging and digging and digging and digging to just try to figure out what is setting these pending codes. I can't even talk about everything I looked at. And I have probably 5 hours of time pacing around this truck, just thinking and thinking and thinking. Because in the process of diagnosing all the other problems, I went over almost every, like I said, I know this truck like the back of my hand at this point. Also, I want to say it's rare that you run into a vehicle with this many problems that, and when we say causing the same symptom or the same problem, misfires. That's bottom line, that's the problem. Misfires. Yet the symptoms of the misfires changed with every fix, I guess we would say, that we did to this thing. And I'm making this video because this is an absolute rarity that I would ever run into this or anyone else would ever run into this. But the key to this is persistence. It's just persistence on trying to figure out what's going on, because at some point it stops being a paycheck and it becomes a mission. All right, so you want to hear my theory to what's causing these very, very, very slight misfires that will set a pending code? Human hand and aftermarket fucking parts. I'm going to show you what I found and did not find, and then I'm going to show you what led me to that. Check out these valve springs. Since when has Toyota made valve springs with bright purple paint on them? And I have this apart because even though I could scope timing, no problem, I wanted to make sure that I couldn't visually see anything, because what I could find out and I knew was that on cylinder 5, because that one was counting the most pending misfires, I went in cylinder. And once I went in cylinder, actually before I show you where I went in cylinder, my theory here is we have aftermarket valve springs. We've got brand new camshafts. I believe these are Toyota because the markings are correct, the stamps at least. That doesn't mean they're definitely Toyota, but I can assume pretty well that these are Toyota. The valve springs are aftermarket, and this is brand new. Look, timing chain marks, clean as shit. Everything is so clean because it's new. So I think this is where this all started. Now, real quick, let me ask you a question. If we've got what appears to be head jobs on this thing, timing jobs, at least valve train jobs on this thing, and for those springs to get changed, most people aren't pumping up a cylinder, they're taking a head off, right? So what else are they going to change in that head? They're going to change the lifters. And if they used aftermarket springs, I would not be shocked that they used aftermarket lifters. And what could a set of aftermarket lifters give us? Great relative compression, because relative compression is relative from cylinder to cylinder. But what symptoms would they cause? If they weren't bad, they were just shitty. How does the lifter work? The lifter is like a cushion for the other side of the rocker when the cam comes across the roller and it opens up the valve all the way. And that cushion allows the valve, when it comes to go like this. So the valve would be underneath the flashlight here. Here would be the valve. Here would be the lifter underneath. And the camshaft comes, it goes on the roller, and it goes like this, right? And it opens the valve. What happens if you have a shitty lifter? Instead of going like this and opening the valve, it's going to go like this, right? Now let's say that all of the valves and all of the lifters are doing this instead of doing this, okay? That's going to give me perfectly good relative compression. And if I were to throw a compression gauge onto this thing, it would build up perfectly good pressure. Eventually it would probably do it a little bit slow, but it would. It would build. And not like visibly slow, you would never know. But what it would definitely cause would be that it would cause every intake valve and every exhaust valve on this vehicle to not have the ability to open completely and correctly at the right timing points. They would all be opening just a little bit shy of where they should be in distance, and just a little bit shy of where they should be in time. Let me show you what led me to this. This is a in-cylinder on cylinder 5 with the Rokki PS16 pressure transducer. I ordered a WPS, a 500, WPS 500X last night. Because this was killing me, right? And I was like, is this because of the PS16? Or is this something I'm actually seeing? So here's our in-cylinder pressure waveform. I'm not going to go too crazy explaining this. That would be like a whole video. And honestly, I've learned so much about in-cylinder from this truck. But essentially, as our cylinder is traveling down, it is drawing on this. And this is 0 PSI, this middle line right here. It draws it under. And then the exhaust valve opens and we start to go to atmospheric pressure. And this curve here bothers me. And then as we come up, you can see how we're building 5 PSI inside of the cylinder. And this is right where we should have intake and exhaust valve overlap. All right, so what could possibly cause this to happen when a known good would look like this? Let me pull up a known good I got from Ryan Mullen here, like this. This oscillation's pretty big, right? And we got like, yeah, maybe a PSI or two over here. But there is no lead up to a big hump when we are in cylinder on a known good 5.7 Tundra. Now this on mine looks so distinct, right? But it's 5 PSI versus Ryan's, you know, 1-2 PSI, 2.5 I think it was. But why does it look so drastic to the rest of this? And it's an obvious curve. Even if this looks like it's in a weird sizing, like look at this compared to Ryan's. Okay, boom. Oh shoot. Okay, boom. Not such drastic changes. And then mine, huge drastic change here. Well, this is what I finally noticed. Check this out. Where's my ruler? This is our 4.2 PSI. And when we come up here, 60 PSI of running compression. I don't know how I didn't spot that. I just spotted that today. And if we look at Ryan's, we got 133-ish, 126 of compression at peaks. So I am happy. Obviously, I don't have lifters to put in it to confirm this. I'm going to talk to the owners about that on if that's what they want to do. I would prefer that's the route that we go so we can verify this. But that is literally the only thing that can give me this. My timing is perfect, by the way. I had scope captures, and I also, because I wanted to look at the camshafts, I was even thinking crazy because the reluctors are the same on the camshafts, but they're in slightly different positions. I was thinking maybe somebody reused the camshafts and they had a mix match side to side or something. But then once we pulled the valve cover off and I saw that they looked brand new, here's my theory. This thing had some kind of failure. Whether it be timing chain failure, which I have seen on these, timing chain failure, did a spring go bad and it dropped the valve? And they said, all right, we're going to refresh all the valves. We're going to put brand new cams. I mean, there's a reason this got all brand new stuff. Something happened. So I think they did that job and they said, oh, you know what? Since it was a spring that broke, let's get some aftermarket springs. They're going to be beefier. And I believe that they got aftermarket lifters at the same time. Because, and this all, if someone tells me that you've seen purple Toyota springs, I'll shut my ass right now. But I just don't, I can't. I was talking to that Yoda guy, Austin. He can't remember ever seeing them. And, I mean, that's all, that's it. That's the only thing that would give me these waveforms. And with everything being new, I mean, it is totally feasible that it's not that they're bad. New Toyota bad. Shitty aftermarket is what we're dealing with here. So anyway, I believe that it got that job done. And then after this job was done, human hand, aftermarket parts, it would sometimes set a misfire. And I believe it was very sparsely that it would do it. But it was enough that, I mean, customers that have Tundras love their Tundras. That this guy brought it, because like I said in the Carfax, I could see it was passed around through a couple different Toyotas getting drivability repairs done. Also, the aftermarket throttle body that was on it wouldn't have been put on by Toyota. So that's either the customer itself. That thing was brand new. That was right before it went to auction, actually. So maybe the last place that bought it that sent it to auction. Who knows? But not a Toyota dealer. A Toyota dealer would not do that. And every time someone touched this vehicle trying to fix the original problem, they just made it worse and worse and worse and worse. But anyway, if you want to learn how to deal with case studies like this, some of the hardest cars to figure out, sign up for ASTA North Carolina, September 25th. I'm pumped. I can't wait to go. All the big names are there. I learned so much this year. I got enough confidence, too, to say that's a diag.